You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, October 3rd. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Here Comes the Judge.
Appreciate that. I know Brother Palmer is not feeling well. And matter of fact, this morning he leaned over, and sometimes on the platform we'll exchange words and stuff, and he leaned over and he said, Preacher, I am really not feeling good. And I said, well, stay away from me. And I am praying that he does feel better. I'm praying for Brother Allen. I appreciate the men that's on staff. They do a great job. Yesterday, Brother Bokley was down for the count. And then today, Brother Allen down for the count. And then Brother Palmore, of course, getting ready to go down for the count. And I really don't like counting that way. And so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 31. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, you may already have this marked, I don't know, but it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it's very important that we understand tonight who we're dealing with. You know, sometimes I think we come to church, and sometimes I think that we deal with people outside of church, and we do not deal with them in such a way as we ought. You know, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a mighty God. Years ago, there was a college student that was in Atlanta, Georgia. It was in Curtis Hudson's school. Dr. Hudson had an institute. He had a Bible college there, and he was training young preachers. And so the Bible college student went out soul winning. So he came to an elderly man that was sitting on the front porch, and he said, Sir, he said, are you a Christian? He said, No. He said, No, I'm Mr. Smith. And the boy said, no. He said, no, are you Christian? He said, no, I said, I'm Mr. Smith. He said, the Christians live two doors down, but I'm Mr. Smith. He said, you don't understand what I'm talking about. He said, are you lost? He said, son, I've been living here for 25 years. I am not lost. He said, son, he said, look, I've been in the neighborhood. Everybody knows me. I am not a lost individual. And the boy was getting kind of flustered. And he said, well, sir, let me ask you, are you going to be ready for the judgment day? And he said, well, I don't know. When is it? Well, the boy said, it could be today. It could be tomorrow. I don't know. He said, whatever you do, don't tell my wife. She'll try to go to both shopping days on that day. You know, and I think sometimes that's the way we look at some things in the Bible. We look at it very lightly. You know, here this young man, of course, was, and no doubt the young man maybe did not use the right type of words, but he had a desire. He had a desire to see that elderly man come to know Christ as Savior. C.W. Fields was laying in a hospital bed, and C.W. Fields never was a Bible believer, but one day one of his friends came into the hospital room where W.C. Fields was laying, and W.C. Fields had a Bible, and he was looking through the Bible, and his friend said, Mr. Fields, you've never been known to be a Bible reader, never been known to profess Christ as Savior, anything like that. What are you doing? He said, oh, it's simple. I'm looking for loopholes. Now, may I say tonight, there is no loopholes. May we understand tonight, I do believe sometimes, here's what we do, sometimes we have a tendency to soft coat things and sugar stick things, and tonight we've got to understand there is no loopholes and there is no sugar coating this thing tonight as we talk about here comes the judge. I want us to take our Bible tonight, do a Bible study, but I want us to look at it. A big day is coming up. You know, we're talking about having a big day soul winning push on Saturday. We're talking about having a time of prayer. Of course, Saturday morning, 8:30. Then 10 o'clock is going to be preaching time, challenge time, dividing up and getting out of here. Why is it important for a church to have big days? Why is it important for a church to have fall campaigns or fall programs or spring campaigns or spring programs? Why is it important that we continue to keep the fires hot when it comes to getting that which is the gospel out? Why is it important that we run the buses? Why is it important that we give out gospel tracts? Why is it important that Brother Mike Lofton is preaching in Panama tonight? Why is it important that him and Brother Tom Lee went over to the Philippines and preached and went to the schools and went to the jails and went to the government facilities and stuff like that? Why is it important that we spend the hours that we spend and the hours that we spend out there sacrificially and the money that we spend? Why is it so important? Take your Bible, please. Now go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 11. Revelation chapter 20. And in verse 11. Here's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them." Why is it so important to understand what's taking place on this dreadful day? Let me give you some descriptive words that describes this day. Here we have that which is a courtroom. The courtroom is set up. The Bible uses some words here in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. The Bible uses the word great. And so this is a great courtroom. But not only just great and that which is the courtroom, I want you to notice, if you will, the terminology here as the Bible says, watch it in verse 11, "And I saw the great white throne." And so it's a great white throne courtroom. And so everything in it is white. It's different than the judgment seat. In the judgment seat, you'll see that there's an emerald green that's surrounding the throne of God. The judgment seat is for believers. The white throne is for those that are lost. Inside of the judgment seat, you'll see there's all sorts of different colors. You'll see the emerald. You'll see the jasper. And you'll see all the colors identify the eternalness that we find in Jesus Christ through his blood. A very vibrant time for those that are believers that will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. But the white throne judgment has no flare. The white throne judgment has no glitter. The white throne judgment is not a place where people come to get, if you will, please, something to see and something to talk about and something that's elaborate and something that is greatly to be praised. But yet the Bible uses the word great here, and it's talking about that great white throne judgment. So this is not a little judgment. This is not something that's passive. This is not something that's here and all of a sudden is going to dissipate and disappear or something like that. No, the Bible says that it is a great white throne judgment. Now, what is going to happen at that great white throne judgment? Well, the Bible says the earth and the heaven fled away. You know, that's how come the Bible says over in the book of Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You know, there is great profit in being a soul winner. Why? Because the soul is worth more than all the world put together. All right? And so here's a great white throne judgment, something that's great. It's something that's white. White speaks of purity. White speaks of the holiness of God. White speaks, if you would please, of where you see over in Psalm 51 in verse 7, where David said, "Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white, whiter than snow." And so it's a time where you see that it is going to be where those that show up are not like that one that's sitting on the throne. Here's the one sitting on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on the throne, and he's sitting on a white throne. It's a great white throne. That word throne, if you will, it's talking about a potentate. A potentate. Now, what is that? Well, here's what the Bible says over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 15. The Bible says, "Which is his times," it says, "and shall show." And it says, and who is blessed of the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." Now, what does that mean? That means this, that he is the most pure. He is the most powerful. He is the most strong. He is the strongest one. He is the most powerful one. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We're not talking about some king sitting on a throne tonight. We're talking about the King, Creator, God. We're talking about that which is a son that's going to take the throne. Hey, this is not Texas versus Mr. and Mrs. Smith tonight. And this is not Los Angeles versus so-and-so and so-and-so tonight. Oh, no. This is the lost dead that's going to face the holy God. Now, we have to understand the setting of this. This is not like a courtroom that you show up and you appear before a judge that doesn't even know the law. This is not like a courtroom that you appear and all of a sudden you have witnesses against you. No, no, no. For a lost person, they need no witnesses against them. They're going to have witness against themselves as they're judged out of the books. See, this is why it's so very important tonight that you and I as Christians, we understand what's going to take place at the white throne judgment. At the white throne judgment, that which is dead, that which is lost and dead, those that's never received Christ as Savior will be raised out of that which is hell and will stand before God. And it is the final judgment. They're not there to be able to change God's mind. They're there to receive the ultimate penalty. The judgment has already been made. Oh, listen to it. Watch if you will. The Bible talks about and him that sat on it. Who is he? He's the judge of the universe. Who is he? He's the one that's sent by God the Father. And so many times I've heard preachers say, well, God is going to sit on the throne. God is not going to sit on the throne. His son is. See, today you know him as Savior. Today you know him as he's the precious one that shed his blood on Calvary. He's the one that, the lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. Today you know him as the one that bore your sins on the cross. And today you know him as the one that heals and the one that creates and the one that pleases and the one that gives peace and the one that gives joy and the one that helps. But on this day, he's not going to be that way. On this day, he will be judge. Oh, watch this, if you will. Look at it in your Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, and the Father judgeth no man. Listen to it now. But have committed all judgment unto the Son. So he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to commit my judgment unto my Son. My Son is going to be appointed judge that day. Acts chapter 7 and verse 31, the Bible says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Listen to it now. By the man who he hath ordained, it says, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and he hath raised him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. And so he's saying this. He's saying, I'm going to give judgment unto my Son. Yeah, here comes a person says, well, you don't understand. He says, one day I was drowning and boy, there came by somebody and he rescued me out of the water. Okay, that's a savior, if you will. Somebody rescued somebody else, saved them from despair, saved them from death. But you walk into the courtroom that day, and at the same token, that if that person that just rescued you and they pulled you into their boat and they saved you, they salvaged you, if he now is taking that which is the position of being judged, he has to fulfill his judgely state. He has to fulfill his judgely position. Today we know him as Savior. Today we go out, we tell people about Jesus Christ. Today we go out, we give gospel tracts. Today we go out, we preach the word of God. Today we go out, we go soul winning. Today we put in the hours. Today we put in the prayers. Today we try to introduce the lost and dying world to the one and only Jesus Christ. But there will be a day when he's not known as Savior. There will be a day when he is known as Judge. There's the courtroom, the great white throne. There's the judge, the one that sits upon the courtroom inside of that place is called Jesus Christ. But then there is the accused. I want you to take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 12. Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 12. The Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great. By the way, listen to me. That means those that are small in stature and great in stature. That means those that are small in intellect and great in intellect. That means those that are small in financial status and those that are great in financial status. That means those that are kings and those that are servants. And nobody's going to escape this judgment. This is a judgment for the lost dead. This is a judgment for those that had time to know him as Savior. Those that had time to receive him as their Christ. Those that had time to receive him and be able to have eternal life. And they said, no, I don't want to do it. And they put it off. All right, wait a minute. The Bible says in verse 12, the Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, I want you to note something here. Here we see at the white throne judgment, there is the accused. Now, who are the accused? Well, that's the big shots and the little shots. Who are the accused? Well, that's the people that think that they know everything and the people that think that they know nothing. Who are they? I'll tell you, they all have something in common. They're unforgiven sinners. Unforgiven sinners. Unforgiven sinners such as a Madeline Murray O'Hare that was used to be able to get the Bible out of our schools. unforgiven sinners, those that stood up against God, those that stood, and they make fun of God, and they take his name in vain, and they drag his name through that which is the dust of the earth, and they use his name in jest, and they use his name in curse words, and they use his names in profanity, and they joke. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day there's not going to be joking at his name. There's going to come a day, the Bible says, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, there's going to come a day you won't shake your finger in his face any longer and say, ha ha. There'll come a day when your neighbor won't take the track and curl it up and throw it on the ground. There'll come a day when young people will not mock his name in the public school. There'll come a day when the godless public school teachers will not want to kick him out. There'll come a day when they wish they would have had another opportunity, another chance. There'll come a day when they wish they could have had Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have a privilege to introduce him as Savior today, but one day he'll be known as Judge. Judge to those that are four groups, those that are sinners. He'll be judged because they reject Christ and they don't have their sin forgiven. They've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They've never been forgiven. By the way, that's why soul winning is so important. Those that are self-righteous, the self-righteous that are walking around all puffed up, the self-righteous that are believing in good works, the self-righteous, much like the Pharisees that made fun, if you would please, of the publicans and sinners, the self-righteous, much like the Sadducees that would walk around. But yet the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and in verse 6, the Bible says, but we are all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. There are those that are going to stand at that white throne judgment that are sinners, those that are self-righteous. There's going to be slow deciders. They put it off. They put it off. And they put it off. How many times have we taken the Bible and we showed somebody how to be saved and they have said, preacher, I'll do it, but not now. Preacher, you come back and talk to me later. I don't want this church thing. We're not talking about a church thing. We're talking about Jesus Christ. You go to some place and they take a tract and they curl it up and they throw it on the ground. Don't you feel bad? You have done your part. The Bible says when you walk away from them, you're supposed to shake the dust off of your feet. You know what that means? That means this. That means that you did your part and now it's between them and God. Don't carry it home with you. I know soul winner after soul winner after soul winner, Dr. Bulkley, they go out soul winning. They get discouraged. Why? Somebody was mean to them. Somebody slammed a door on them. Somebody took a dog and said, sick him to the dog on them. Hey, somebody decided to say something unkind. What do? Here's what you do. You just decide you're going to shake it off of your feet. Get back out there. Give those gospel tracts. Get back out there. Give somebody the gospel. Why? Because somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to go to hell. Hey, they need you. Oh, think about it tonight. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 15. The Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are four categories that will be at this place, the white throne judgment. There's the sinners, there's the self-righteous, there's the slow deciders, and then there's the Sunday churchgoers. Boy, they just go to church, but you know, there's something more to it than just coming to church. Come on. Yeah, there's something more to it than just being religious. Boy, I remember when I was religious, I remember coming up and being in the Catholic Church, and I was very religious. Man, I tell you, but we had slogans, we had mottos, we had songs. But we'd sing the songs, Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, swing them beads all over the place, swing them high, swing them low, Hey Mary, go, go, go. You know, we had all sorts of stuff. But I remember the statues. I remember when it was real to me. And I remember kneeling down before I'd go into a boxing match or one of these little running meets that I was in. And I remember going to my locker and open up that locker door. And as a young man, I'd kneel down and I'd pray to the Holy Mary that she would help me to beat somebody up in the ring. Or help me to win a match. Well, I remember that. Come on. But it was all empty. Boy, when I remember David Lee taking the Bible and showing me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I bowed my heart and asked the Savior to be my personal Savior. Boy, I remember him forgiving my sin. I remember him washing away my sin. I remember him giving me eternal life, and it's never been the same since. Now, that's what soul winning is all about. Listen, here's what we see. The Bible talks about those that's going to be at the white throne judgment. Who are they? They're sinners. Who are they? They're self-righteous. Who are they? They're slow decision makers. Who are they? They're Sunday churchgoers. Did you know that America is full of religious people? Man, they go to church. I was reading, Brother Lewis sent me a magazine about Dallas, Texas churches. And while I went through that magazine, I got it this morning, and I went through that and seeing that there's a church here, it runs 30,000. There's another church that's running 27,000. There's another church. And I'm looking at the names of some of these churches, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. If the name truly identifies the doctrine of which they're based on, all they're doing is going to church. It's more to it than going to church. Hey, we have to help people understand that which is God, he himself, he has a son. His son, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can forgive sin. He's the only one that can give eternal life. He is the way. We have to help people understand that. And by the way, we might not be able to do it all in here. And so that's why we need to go out there. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We're supposed to go. We're not supposed to pray about it. We're not supposed to think about it. We're not supposed to say, well, I tell you what, I feel led of God. Most of the time, you won't feel nothing. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says in verse 12. The Bible says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face it says the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And so what are they doing? Here's the accused, and they're trying to run. They're trying to get away. But yet the Bible says there's found no place for them. Now look, if you will, in the next verse, down in verse 12. I'm sorry, look at verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. I saw the dead, it says small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now what books are they? At this white throne judgment, I believe there's three books. Now what books are they? Well, the Bible says, I believe it describes one of them right here. The Bible says the books were open, and the Bible says another book was open, which is the book of life. Now watch what it says. The Bible says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So one of those books is going to contain works. One of those books is going to contain the works of what a man does. Now, that's the book of works. Listen to it. Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou, listen to it now, knowest my down setting, and it says, mine uprising, my understanding, my thought afar off. So God knows our thoughts. Come on. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. So he knows our thoughts. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord, it says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So he sees every movement that we're making. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 36, the Bible says, and I say unto you, every idle word of men, watch it, that men shall speak, he shall give an account to on the judgment day. All right, so he says that there's going to be an accountability for every word that a person speaks. Listen to it. Luke chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. It says, therefore, whosoever ye that have spoken in darkness, it says, shall be heard in the light. The Bible says, that which is spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10, the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, the Bible says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteresses. It says fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing. And it says, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, that's what he said. So what does that mean? That means there's people working and God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to judge you by your works. I'm going to prove to you that your works does not match up. Amen. It doesn't matter how, and that's why it's so important. Please understand, Parkside Baptist Church, that's why it's important to get the gospel out. You know, we put the hours out and we go and we go and we go and we chase and we love and we give out the gospel. Hey, it's important. Why? Because there's going to be a white throne judgment. We're not talking about a fairy tale. We're talking about something that's going to be real. Something that people's going to face. God's going to bring them up out of hell. It's going to be a great white throne judgment. Nothing inside will be any other color. Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. People will come being brought up out of hell. They're going to stand before God. And God's going to say, I'm passing judgment. How they pass it? How is he going to pass judgment? He passes judgment, judging people out of that which is the book of works. But there's another book. The Bible says in John chapter 12 and in verse 48, the Bible says, the word that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you, or the same shall judge him in the last day. So not only will be judged, they will be judged out of the book of works, but they'll be judged out of the book of the Bible. Jesus said, the same word that I've spoken unto you, that book will be brought up again on judgment day. There's another book. Listen to it now. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. Let me just read you this one. The Bible says, and there shall be no wise. It says, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a Lamb's book of life. So there's the book of works. There's the Bible, the book of the Bible. And then there's the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So God looks down in the Book of Life. It's a reservation book. Okay. Now, I have flown so many times on airplanes, especially overseas. And, you know, if you show up and you don't have an e-ticket, or you don't have a bona fide boarding pass, and you try and get on the plane, you are not getting on the plane. You know why? Because you have not rented a seat. There is no place for you. You do not have a reservation. Now, the reservation has to be made before the plane takes off. And if the reservation is not made before the plane takes off, you're left behind. And that's all we're doing. We're going out showing people how to make their reservation ready for heaven. Because when the rapture takes place, we don't want them left behind. So here's what we see. We've got to help people understand, hey, that name needs to be written in the reservation book. Is the name written there? Do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Has your name ever been written in the book of life? If it's never been written in the book of life, listen to me, there is no hope. But if your name's written in the book of life, the Bible says it's sealed onto the day of redemption. Once it's written in, it's not coming out. It is sealed by the blood. But you say, Brother Wells, I'm not a good person. Well, if you look in the mirror and somebody else is standing behind you, neither are they. The people sitting beside you are not all that hot either. Amen. You know, we're all saved by grace. Everybody's looking to see who's sitting beside them. But we're all saved by grace. Did you know that? Come on. Here's what we see. We see there's a courtroom. We see there's a judge. We see there's the accused. We see there's the evidence. As you enter into the courtroom, it's a white courtroom. You look up there, and there he is. He's all in white. There he is. He's the Son of God. He's the one that they could have known as their Savior, but now they know him as their judge. Then he accused or raised out of that which is hell. Death and hell were delivered out. They stand before the final judge, and now there's three books laying on a tier, and they're open. One of those books is the books of works. Everything they ever did, every time they went to church, God wrote it in the book. Every time they read a Bible, God wrote it in the book. Every time they helped a neighbor across the street, God wrote it in the book. Every time they perhaps they opened a door being kind for somebody as they got into the car, God wrote it in the book. Every good work that they've ever done has been written in the book of works. One book. Then there's the Bible, God's righteous standard of judgment. Then there's that which is the book of life, the reservation book. Let me give you this, and I'm done. There's the verdict. There's the verdict. Well, no, let's do this. Let's take an order. Notice the defense. I want you to see this. God says this, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says that as appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is going to be the defense. Now, what is that? I believe there's going to be people saying, but you don't understand, God, I'm not guilty. But the judgment is not for you to be able to come up, or somebody else that's not saved come up and say, God, I'm not guilty. No. You got to understand, the sentence was already passed. It's already done. After a person dies, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is no help after that. These dear people that go to these churches and they pay money and they light candles and they try to pray their loved ones out of purgatory, it's not going to happen. First off, there is no purgatory, even according to the Catholic Bible. It's not going to happen. These people go and they say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray through some beads. And if I pray through the beads and I say the certain type of prayers X amount of times, then God is going to have grace. No, God only has grace on the individual sinner that knows that he needs a Savior. It's a personal matter. It's not something that's done through a group. It's not a person doesn't get saved because mama's saved. Person doesn't get, come on. See, that's why we have got to get bit about this thing about soul winning. And don't be ashamed to talk to somebody else about their soul and about receiving Christ as Savior. Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. Let me give you the verdict. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. I said that there is a courtroom. I said that there is a judge. I said that there is the accused. I said that there is the evidence. I said that there is the defense. Now let's look at the verdict. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible says, and he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So the verdict is that they can stand there all they want to. Please listen to me. They can stand there all they want to and say, oh, God, let me in. Now, remember, they've been in hell. They have been in hell. Matter of fact, take your Bible and let's notice what it says there. Watch this. Revelation chapter 20. Notice this. Notice down in verse 13, the Bible says, and the sea gave up the dead. Now, that's those that have died at sea, which were in it. It says, and death and hell were delivered. Death and hell was delivered. It says, listen to it now, was delivered up. Watch what it says. And death and hell delivered up. It says, the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now watch what it says. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now there is the verdict of this is it. By the way, that's a final verdict in verse 15. It's a final verdict. It's a final sentence. See, that's why it's so imperative. You know, and we're talking about there in the book of Luke chapter 16 where you see the rich man being in hell. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes being in torment. When I was 9 years of age, my grandfather, I called him Pop. He was my grandfather according to the flesh. I mean, he wasn't, sometimes I talk about some grandparents took me in from age of one to the age of six or so, birth to six. But this was my physical birth, blood kin, grandfather. My dad had a dream. My dad lived in, we lived in Baltimore City, and my dad said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to move out into the country, and I'm going to buy a lot of land. And like every parent, I guess, huh? He said, I'm going to make preparation for all you boys to grow up around here. He said, I'm going to buy a lot of land. And he said, one day y'all can have houses here, and I'll help to pay for them. It's going to be a good thing. But he wanted to take care of his daddy, Pop. Pop used to drive for Bethlehem Steel out of Baltimore City, Maryland. He was a truck driver. And he drove for Bethlehem Steel for many, many years. And I remember Pop. Pop was 72 years old. I was 9 years of age. And I remember looking over across the meadow that day, and Pop's house set over there on the other side of the field. And I remember Pop falling off of the John Deere tractor that Dad had bought him the previous Christmas. I was 9 years of age. I wasn't saved. I never heard the gospel until I was 18. And I remember running as hard, as vigorously as I possibly could with all the energy that a 9-year-old little boy's arms could pump. And I remember running to Pop. I didn't know what was happening to him. I remember taking his head, my 72-year-old granddaddy, and putting his head in my lap, and he was turning purple, and he was dying. He had a massive heart attack. And at age 9, he died in my lap. I thought back over the years. I thought, you know, Brother McCarty, I thought, you know, maybe, just maybe he was saved. Maybe. Boy, I sure do hope. But then I go back to the time, Brother Magnin, when I remember somebody coming by, and I remember, like our soul winners, we dress up sharp when we go out because we represent the Lord. And I remember two young men going by Pop's house, and I remember them having suits on, and they might have been Mormons, I don't know, but I want to believe that they were Christian. I want to believe that they had New Testaments. I want to believe they had some gospel tracts, and I want to believe that they were going to lead Pop to Christ. But I remember Pop telling about these two young men that came by the house, and boy, he would tell about it, and he would laugh about it. He said, yeah, they came. He called them Bible thumpers. He said, yeah, they came up, those Bible thumpers. He said, they came up that day, came down the path, knocked on my door. They thought I was just an old man. But I showed them. He said, I got the shotgun out of the back closet, didn't put any shells in it, didn't need to. They were sissy boys. He said, I went out there, and he said, I took that shotgun. And he said, you see this gun, boys? He said, you've got until I cock it back to get down that road that you just came down, or I'm going to blow you away. He said, I never saw two sissy boys run as fast in all my life. I remember him telling that story. Now, you got to understand, I came from a Catholic heritage. You have to understand that my family came over during the potato famine from Ireland, and they came over here, and they came through Ellis Island, and we became citizens in the United States of America. So you got to understand that they were staunch Irish, and you got to understand that that's the way my parents were. You got to understand that's the way my dad was. That's the way my grandparents were. You have to understand where they came from. Come on. And I can't help but think, Brother Moore, over and over again, I am not going to see him in heaven. I remember playing checkers with him, and I remember us going out back, and we played volleyball together. I remember when we'd have all the relatives to come over, and we'd have these big old family reunions, Brother Stead, and all the relatives would come, and my granddad would get out there, and he'd say, watch the old man hit the ball. And he'd hit that ball. Man, he'd run those bases like nobody else. I remember that. I remember him teaching me how to drive the John Deere tractor, and I'd go down and I'd work his portion of the field. I remember that. But as a 9-year-old boy, as that granddad, his Pop, laid in my lap, and he took his last breath, and I went to the funeral. Then later I got saved. And I'll tell you, Brother Tommy, I look back over the years, and I wish I would have got saved sooner. Man. Brother Jared, I wish you would have came through my neighborhood, knocked on my door. Brother Nosey did a great job today, but I wish somebody off your bus route would have came to my house. See, if somebody, Brother Palmore, if somebody would have came to my house, I believe this with all my heart. If somebody would have came to my house, Brother Harrison, if somebody would have came to my house at age 6 and they would have knocked at my door, I believe I had such a tender heart. If they would have simply stopped and they would have talked to me and knocked on my door at the age of 8 or the age of 9 or the age of 10, if somebody would have just took a Bible, I think I would have got saved. Maybe I could have led Pop to Christ. I was his favorite grandson, you know. Maybe I could have led Pop to Christ. Come on. Listen to me tonight. There's a white throne judgment. When I got saved, I went to see one of my aunts. Up there, you might say aunt. But I went to see one of my aunts. I witnessed to her, Brother Moore. And she said, well, you know, she said, I don't know about all this God stuff. She said, as far as I'm concerned, God is that dog because I believe in reincarnation. She's dead now, and according to her own testimony, she's burning. According to Pop's own testimony, he's burning. But can I tell you something good, Ben? You ready for this? I remember witnessing to Mom and Daddy over and over again. Are you ready? And Mom would say, oh, we can't talk about this now because your father's going to hear. We can't talk about this now. Shh, keep your voice down. He'll get mad. And I remember Dad being in the back bedroom, and I remember putting my head on my mama's knee, and she sat on that green velvet couch, ugly. Man, I would sit there as an 18-year-old boy, and I'd put my head in mama's knee, and I'd have tears coming down my face, and I'd say, Mama, I don't want to go to heaven without you. This is real. This is not games. You listen to me, Parkside Baptist Church. We're not playing games. You're not in a church that practices religion. Hey, this is real. Boy, I remember putting my head in my mama's lap, and I said, Mama, please get saved. Mama, I don't want you to die and burn in hell. Please get saved. You've got to get saved. You've got to get saved. And she'd say, oh, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. You'll be okay. You've just been going to that church too much. You'll be okay. How many times have you heard that? Well, you'll be okay. How many times has the bus kids heard that? Well, you'll be okay. I said, Mama, you don't understand. This is real. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about that church that I go to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Mama, I'm talking about a real place called hell. I begged Mama, and Mama just, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. But I remember Mama getting saved in 1982. And it became okay. Then she kept saying, why don't you come home and talk to Daddy? I was at Bible college. Daddy needs this too. You know, you need to come. And then I remember Mama going home to be with the Lord, and Daddy had a big void in his life. See, Mama was everything to Daddy. And I remember Daddy starting to get empty. By the way, sometimes God's got to make you empty before he can fill you. He didn't have Mama no more. Mama couldn't meet his needs anymore. Mama couldn't pat him on the back anymore. Mama wasn't there anymore. And all of a sudden, Daddy's empty on the inside. And I sent soul winner by and soul winner by and soul winner by. And I had a talk with him 2 o'clock in the morning one day, all the way up to 2 o'clock a.m. And he didn't quite understand. And I said, another soul winner by. And that soul winner went by and led my Daddy to Christ. They're in heaven right now. No white throne judgment for them. Hey, they're not going to be brought up out of hell. Then I thought, man, I got a brother. And we went after brothers. Then we went after brothers. And Mrs. Wells led my younger brother, Joe, to Christ when we lived in Brooklyn, New York. And I went after Mark, and I led Mark to Christ. And then I led Sean to Christ, which is my oldest brother's son. And then Sean turned around and led Dave to Christ. Man, they're all going to be there at the judgment seat, not the white throne. Come on. But what about your friends? What about your Hey, listen to me, dorm college kids. What about the guys and the gals that live in the apartment complexes where you live? What about the people that work down at the workplace where you work? What about the people across the street where you live? Come on. Hey, we're not talking about, come on, let's get everybody to come to Parkside Baptist Church and have a big day. Look, I'm not concerned about that. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to burn in hell. It's real. We've got to do our part. Amen. It's not about numbers. It's about that one person that we can care enough about to give them a gospel track and help them. That's what it's all about. That white throne judgment. Listen to me now. The judge is coming. Let's do our part.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.